to Children's Church. For those of us still in here, let me invite you this morning to turn to the book of Numbers, page 96. If you're grabbing a pew Bible, the words will be on this screen behind me. The book of Numbers, aka Sefer Bamidbar. And we're going to pick it up today in chapter 4 and verse 21, which begins now the 35th of the 54 parshiot that comprise the Torah, what is the first five books of our Bibles, and what we have been calling for well over a year now the Jesus backstory, right? Working our way through, taking it parsha by parsha, and today we come to Parsha Naso. Parsha Naso, which begins, like many of the other parshiot that we've been reading, it begins here, Vayedaber Adonai El Moshe L'mor, which may sound familiar to many of you, and said Yahweh, and said the Lord to Moses, saying, and what did he say? He says, Naso et Rosh, which is translated here to take a census. It can be translated, simply put, it can be translated to count. And it really is this continuation then of, from last week, Parsha Bamidbar, which in large part, again, is really all about the preparations, the people of Israel preparing for their journey through the wilderness, right? Bamidbar. This intersection then between the voice of God and silence. And central then to this journey through the wilderness from the beginning is Naso et Rosh, right? This taking of a census, this idea of counting, which in one sense sounds like a really boring math problem, right? In fact, it kind of reads that way. If we pick it up in 1 and 21, it says the number from the tribe of Reuben was 46,500. From 1 and 23, the number from the tribe of Simeon was 59,300. Verse 25, the number from the tribe of Gad was 45,650. Verse 27, the number from the tribe of Judah was 74,600. Anybody going to sleep yet? Right? And this continues, chapters 2 and chapter 3, and then here today into chapter 4 in verse 34, it says, Moses, Aaron, and the leaders of the community counted. Verse 36, the Kohathites counted by clans were 2,750. Verse 40, the Gershonites counted by their clans and families were 2,630. Somebody's getting these numbers down, I hope. The Merarites counted by their clans were 3,200. Yawn. No, Roger. Roger loves numbers. Roger he's all over this. Other than Roger, though, for the rest of us, this is the kind of stuff that when we read it, we just kind of go to sleep. And if we don't go to sleep, we gloss over. And yet, as you can imagine, there is something much deeper going on here. And it really picks up here in just the opening line, right? Naso et Rosh. While yes, it does translate as to take a census, while it does have this idea of counting, there is something here that is much deeper and much more grand. As Rabbi Jonathan Sacks puts it, he writes, the word naso that gives us the name to this week's parsha is a verb of an extraordinary range of meanings, among them to lift, to carry, and to forgive. And then with that, what makes Naso even more powerful is that when we put it with et Rosh, and all through the wilderness years, we find, all through Scripture in the wilderness years, we find Naso et Rosh. Et Rosh translates as the head. And so a literal translation of Naso et Rosh would be to lift the head. Which again, from Rabbi Sacks, he writes, this is an odd way of speaking because Biblical Hebrew is not short of other verbs meaning to count. Among them, limnot, lispor, tifkod, and lakshov. Why then not use one of these verbs? Why not simply say count instead of to lift the head? To which the Rabbi Carol Glass, she then joins in this conversation. She writes, why is it that the act of census taking employs language of uplifting heads? She goes on to say, it is because of the tremendous value placed on every individual and their uniqueness. We know from the creation story that each of us is created, Beit Salem, in the image of the Holy One. Each person is equally, infinitely valuable, while also unique. She goes on, when taking a census, the tendency is to focus on the collective. How many people constitute the whole? Our Torah portion teaches that we should not regard people as mere numbers. Rather, we are expected to find the divine in the other. Makes me think of that good Quaker saying, right, that of God in everyone, right, that light within, the light of God within each one, as faint and as dim as maybe it seems at different times. Right, naso et rosh, to lift the head, each one equally, infinitely valuable. And it's that backstory that then flows into the very life and teachings of Jesus. We see it perhaps most notably in the story of the leper. I think one of the great stories of the Bible, the story of the leper really demonstrating then this idea of naso et rosh, right? This idea of to lift the head, really demonstrating then this idea of each person, each one, right? Equally, infinitely valuable. We're going to pick it up in the Gospel of Matthew. This story is found in all three of the synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 1 today, page 686. Again, if you're in a pew Bible, the words will be on the screen behind me. Matthew 8 and 1, it says, when Jesus came down from the mountainside, and this was following, he had been up on the mountainside for some time in what we think of as the Sermon on the Mount, giving his most significant teachings. When Jesus came down from the mountain, large crowds followed him. And then it says, a man with leprosy came. Right, a man with leprosy. Meaning a man who was an outcast. He was an outcast of outcasts. Meaning a man who was the lowest of the low. Meaning a man who was absolutely not considered equally, infinitely valuable. In fact, he would have been considered untouchable. In fact, in the ancient world, leprosy was probably the most feared disease, in part because it was considered a complete condition. Right? It infected and it affected the totality of one's life. It was seen physically. Physically, it was very debilitating. It showed up on the skin with sores all over your body. Not to mention the nerves, the damaging of the nerves, especially in the hands and the feet. It affected the muscles, weakening the muscles, progressive over time. Your body would start forming these lumps. Right, there would be swelling, these nodules would begin to ooze. Right, this distinctive sort of odor would begin to flow. Your hands, your fingers, your feet, your toes would start to lose their feeling, your eyebrows would come out, your eyes would maybe extend outward. It was a complete condition, certainly physically. Dr. S. Lewis Johnson, he describes it this way. He said, leprosy was a progressive death in which a person dies by inches. Right? Lasting a lifetime, an inch at a time. But not just physically, what about socially? Right? Socially, again, you are an outcast among outcasts. There is no contact with you. So, right, there's no fist bumps, there's no high fives, there's no hugs, there's no touch. Right? You were considered unclean. In fact, Leviticus 13:45, it reads this way. It says, anyone with such a defiling disease must wear torn clothes, let their hair be unkempt, cover the lower part of their face, and cry out, unclean, unclean. 46, as long as they have the disease, they remain unclean. They must live alone. They must live outside the camp. Dr. Paul Brand, who is kind of a pioneer in working with those who have leprosy, he writes this. He says, the loneliest people of all are the ones for whom leprosy has also destroyed their sight. Like many others in the world, they are blind. But unlike most of the blind, they can't use their hands to bring them the sensation that their eyes are denied because they can't feel either. They are truly alone. And so physically, socially, spiritually, right? One who had leprosy was considered to be cut off from God. Absolutely, they could not go in the temple, maybe the synagogue, but that was if they went early enough and hid behind a black cloth. And then they had to wait until everyone else had left before coming back out. And so they were considered to be cut off from God, emotionally filled with guilt, with shame, humiliation, embarrassment. It was a complete condition. You were in many respects, you were the walking dead. You were the walking dead, the living dead. Which is why we read here, when Jesus came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed him. A man with leprosy came to Jesus, it says, knelt before him and said, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And then verse 3. Jesus, it says, reached out his hand and touched the man. Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. Now, we can read over that and really not blink an eye. We can read over that and think, well, of course, this is Jesus, right? That's what he would do. But we miss how shocking this would have been, right? This was scandalous, in a sense, right? Because a rabbi would never touch a leper, right? And a rabbi touching a leper means now the rabbi is unclean. I mean, this would have been career suicide, right? It just wasn't done. And yet here we read, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. I am willing, he said, be clean. Immediately he was cleansed. The man was cleansed of his leprosy. Noting the word cleansed here, it comes from the Greek word katharizo. It means to be cleansed. It also means to be healed. It can mean to be purified. And so really, this is a man is made whole, right? Both inside and outside. A man with leprosy came to Jesus. Jesus reached out his hand, naso et rosh, right? To lift up the head, and he touched the man, right? Each one equally, infinitely valuable. Which I think says a lot about God and about God's heart. Right? For the one who is an outcast, for the one who is unwanted, for the one who is on the outside looking in, for the lost, for the alone, for the less than, for the hurting and the hopeless, for the undesirable, the unworthy, the unacceptable, right? For the embarrassed, the ashamed. Jesus, it says, reached out his hand, naso et rosh, right? He lifted the head and he touched the man, each one equally, infinitely valuable. Which again says everything about God and God's heart, not only for that one, but also for you and me, for each one of us here in this room. Now, I don't know, perhaps, exactly what's in front of you, what struggle you are having, what physical challenge you may be facing, the emotional stuff that you have going on right now in your life, the social difficulty, the spiritual battle. I don't know maybe exactly what's going on, but I do know God's heart, right, to reach out and touch. Naso et Rosh, to lift the head. That each one in this room, each one of you is equally, infinitely valuable. That is the heart of God. And so as we move into a time of open worship here, remembering the last week in Parsha Bamidbar, this idea of in the desert, this connection between the wilderness and the voice of God, the wilderness being a place of silence. You can go back and listen online if you missed it. Right, but really that's what open worship is. Right? It's this moment of us in the midst of silence and stillness together, listening for the voice of God, listening to the voice of God. And then as he leads, listening to one another's voices. And so as we do that this morning, I want to invite us to spend a few minutes reflecting, and then Roger will come up here in just a bit, and we'll close with a song. But as we think of the man with leprosy, right, it says he came to Jesus. And so maybe we can reflect on what do I need to bring to Jesus today? What do I need to bring to Jesus today? Maybe we could ask it this way. What in my life is in need of his touch? What in my life is in need of his touch? We could ask it this way. What in my life is God inviting me to bring into his presence? Right? Again, be it physical, social, emotional. What do I need to bring to Jesus? What in my life is in need of his touch? What in my life is God inviting me to bring to him? And then with that, to also consider on the other side of that, who in my life is in need of a touch? A touch, be it a listening ear, a helping hand, a kind word, a heartfelt prayer. Who in my life is in need of a touch? To whom is God inviting me to reach out? Maybe you know of someone. Maybe it's a neighbor. Right, and this neighbor is going through all kinds of stuff right now. Maybe it's a family member who's really struggling with something. Maybe it's the bank teller or the grocery store clerk, or maybe it's the barista at the local coffee shop. Maybe it's the person on the bus sitting three seats away. Maybe it's the person at the ball game that I'm sitting next to. Who in my life is in need of a touch, and to whom is God inviting me to reach out? Vayedaber Adonai El Moshe L'amor, and said Yahweh, and said the Lord to Moses, saying, Naso et Rosh, right, to lift the head, each one equally, infinitely valuable. Mm-hmm.